It's sort of like when a child, say, goes to college. Then the parents may promise to take care of his tuition and a little spending money. But what if this student says, oh man, I got some spending money, but he goes out and buys a car, he buys some ski gear, a new cell phone, surfboard, snowboard, wetsuit, then he calls dad and says, Dad, I need more money. What do you think the dad's gonna say? You don't get it, sorry. That's just a fictitious example. If there's any resemblance to my son, Aaron, it is merely coincidental.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. There's a wonderful promise in the Bible, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that God will definitely supply all of our needs, but not necessarily all of our greeds. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Promise of God's Provision.
Philippians 4:19, one of my favorite scriptures. Here we go. Let's read it. Go. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Would you circle the word supply all your needs? Oh boy, I'd like God to provide. Man, if I could be like Bill Gates. Man, I tell you, that's $46 billion. Warren Buffett, 42. God's going to supply everything I want. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. God will supply what? All your... Yeah, God has all the riches of eternity to give to us. But I want you to know, when God says, I'm going to supply all your needs, that means this. God moves in seasons in our lives, or we move in seasons. For everything there is a season, God says in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he's saying, within that season, you're going to have needs. I'll supply all of those. However, every bit of my provision comes attached to an assignment. If I break away from the assignment and I overextend myself, then there's going to be barrenness on both sides. And God is saying, I'm going to provide a fountainhead of provision so that you will fulfill all the assignments you have for this season in your life. I'll supply all those needs. However, we can say, I don't want to do this assignment. I want to do something else. I want what they have. I want what they have. And what happens is we overextend ourselves from this assignment. God might say to you, this season of your life, now it may be short, some may be long, some may be very short, some may be quite long, some medium, whatever it might be. But what is the season that you have, that you are in your life right now? For some of you, it might be a student. You're not supposed to be rich. You're going to be so poor, you can't pay attention. But that's a season of your life. There's a season that you're a child. There's a season that you're an adolescent. There's a season that you're a mom. A season that you're a dad. You're going to be a young married couple. And you're going to say, I want to be like that CEO. And the Lord says, no, that's not your season. Your season is now to establish deep foundations, sound structure. But I could get some more money if I... No, that's not your assignment. Your assignment is to get sure foundations, strong structure. But I can make overtime and get... No. You've got a kid coming. You are to build foundations. Stay with your assignment. Do you know what the assignment is in your life right now? Because God will supply all your needs of this assignment, of this season, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, some promises will require us to cooperate with in order for that promise to be engaged. For example, if someone says, grab my hand, I promise I'll pull you up if you're sinking or whatever, you've got to be able to grab that person's hand and for that promise to be engaged. Someone says, put on this coat, it'll promise to keep you warm. Well, you got to do something to position yourself. And the same is true, what season are you in? Are you within? Are you faithful to that season? Oh, it's so easy to be in the season and say, but I want to be like somebody else. I'd like to be, and we don't like this. And then when we hit barrenness and overextension, we ask God, why didn't you provide? Because God said, I'll provide for your needs in this season. It's sort of like when a child, say, goes to college. Now, the parents may promise to take care of his tuition, take care of his books, even his plane fare going back and forth, and a little spending money. But what if this student says, oh man, I got some spending money, but he goes out and buys a car, he buys some ski gear, a new cell phone, surfboard, snowboard, wetsuit, cool brand name jeans, a PDA, newest computer, then he calls dad and says, Dad, I need more money. What do you think the dad's going to say? I'm sorry, no way. You don't get it. Yeah, but you said you'd provide. Uh-huh. But you see, I'll provide for all your needs. I'll be happy to. But your season right now, the assignment is for you not to be some rich dude, but right now it's for you to be a good student. That's your assignment. Yeah, but I don't have it. Sorry. I'm in debt. Sorry. I got to return all these things. Uh-huh. Because you're acting out of your assignment. Now, that's just a fictitious example. If there's any resemblance to my son, Aaron, it is merely coincidental. Well, you say, well, how do we position ourselves to come under God's provision? What if we just, we're extended too much? What do we do? Well, the first thing is this. Would you write in your notes? Understand the season you are in. Write that in. Understand the season you are in. And then adjust in order to be a good steward of that assignment. You may need to adjust some things to come back into that. So God calls us. Now, sometimes we say, yeah, but God, if you just provide more, then I can do whatever. No, God is going to say something to us that we need to listen very carefully out of Deuteronomy 8. And he also reiterates that in Luke 4. Let's read this. Go. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna. Why? That he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what God is saying? Your life must not be directed by the abundance of money or the lack of it. Because sometimes we say, well, if I had more money, I'd do this. But what if God's saying, don't do that? Well, if I had more money, I'd buy a nicer car. I'd buy a yacht. I'd buy this. But wait a minute. What season are you in your life? And it doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have. Don't let your life be determined by the economy. Let it be determined by what I'm telling you to do. You understand? And if you are, then I'll provide everything you need. But if you circumvent that, you're going to find barrenness on both sides. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you don't live by just how much money we have or how much we don't have, because that'll mess your life up. That'll kind of twist you. Because if you're on one hand, if I've got tons of money, I'll say, well, I can do anything. What if God is saying, don't do that? Well, hey, I got a lot of money. I can do anything. See, financial freedom is, first of all, not having tons of money. Financial freedom is actually being free from what finances drives my life to do. For example, if I don't have enough, I gotta get more. Or if I got a lot, then I can do whatever I want to. No, financial freedom is not having a lot. You can have a lot of money and still not be financially free because you're not hearing what comes out of the mouth of God. You're being dictated by how much you have. And you're not financially free. You're more strapped than ever before. On the other hand, I can have a little bit, and then I'll start to worry, and then I'll start to compromise just to get more. And the Lord is saying, no, you've got to be financially free, whether it's a lot or by little, because you must go by what I'm telling you to do. And if you do, I'll provide. That's a promise. But you stay within the season that you're in, the assignment that you're in. Otherwise, we'll compromise. And we've had all kinds of people, as you know, and I know them, will compromise to get a little bit more. And we know it's kind of wrong, but because we want money so bad, we just kind of compromise. And then all of a sudden, we realize our life is being dictated by mammon or by economy or by money and not by what comes out of the mouth of God. And God might say, Wayne, you're going to be thin for a season. You're going to have not much for a season, but there's certain lessons that I'm teaching you here. If you'll be faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And if you can't steward that which is another's, how can I give you that which is your own? And then he says, listen to the lessons that I've got you to learn. Now, you won't have that much, but that's not what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on character, humility, servanthood. I want you to be able to be content with whatever you have. And once that lesson is learned, I can add more. And then you won't attach your soul to the economy. You'll attach your soul to me and you'll steward the economy. See the difference? And so God will supply all your needs, but sometimes he's not going to supply too much because there's a different lesson. And then he can increase it. And he can increase it tons because my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it's tons. But he loves us too much to just back the dump truck up and just throw it onto us. It won't help us. So he wants us to be financially free and attached to the Lord. Otherwise, we'll have a tendency to compromise. And that's exactly what happened to the three Portuguese guys that was riding the train. They were going to go to a certain destination. So they all bought a ticket. And then they looked over here and three Japanese guys going to the same destination. And instead of buying three tickets, they just bought one between them. And they thought, what? And they all boarded the train. They thought, what? That's not right. I bet they're going to cheat somebody. The Portuguese guy said, what's the matter with them? So they said, hey, how come you guys only bought like one ticket for all three of you Japanese guys? And they said, he said, you watch and see. You come a smarter like us. The Portuguese guys all took their respective seats in the train, and they watched these Japanese guys cram themselves into the toilet, and they closed the door and put occupied on. And so a little while later, the train is going, the conductor is saying to people, excuse me, can I have your ticket? He's collecting tickets, and he comes by the bathroom, and he sees and knocks, and he says, sorry to bother you, but can I collect your ticket, please? And just then the door opens just a crack, and one single arm emerges and hands a ticket. Thank you. And then he continues. Now, when he's out of sight, then all three Japanese guys come out and they sit down. All right. And the Portuguese guy goes, what a smart them. They so smart. So they decide to copy the Japanese guys on the return trip. So when they pow, they all get back towards a train station, and then the three Portuguese guys just buy one ticket, just one. We're going to do that. And to their astonishment, the three Japanese guys show up, and they don't buy any ticket this time. And the Portuguese guy said, hey, how are you going to travel without a ticket? You need, for this trick, like you showed us, one ticket. And the Japanese guy said, watch and see, you come smart like us. So they board the train without any ticket. These three guys, one ticket, and the Portuguese guys jump in the bathroom and close the door and put occupied on. And the three Japanese guys do the same thing, and they put the occupied on. Now they're both in these toilets, and the train departs. And shortly after that, one Japanese guy comes out of the restroom, walks over to the Portuguese one, and goes like this, sorry to bother, can I collect your ticket? See, when you're greedy, everything backfire. And how sometimes we're just pulled by money and economy, and we start to compromise morals. We compromise things, and it gets us in trouble. Well, there's going to be warnings that we're overextending. There's warnings, and God wants to discern us to discern these warnings. What are they? Number one, would you write down inappropriate debt? Inappropriate debt. Oh, there's some debt that is feasible. You know, if you've got a certain amount of debt that you pay for every month, though, and you're able to pay all your debts every month and you have everything in balance, that's okay. It's not inappropriate debt is when you have so much debt you can't pay, so you're having to rob Peter to pay Paul. And so there's going to be some debt, sure, especially for like appreciating items like, you know, a mortgage for a house or education or Harley Davidson motorcycle and other, I mean, eternal things like that. But inappropriate debt. Let me read to you some debt statistics. Listen to this. This is crazy. The average American household has an average now of 13 credit cards, including debit cards, credit cards, store cards. Listen, this is a statistic. There are 1.3 billion cards in circulation in the U.S. 1.3 billion. When you figure there's only 250 million people, babies and up, and there's 1.3 billion. How many of you have more than two credit cards in your wallet or purse? Come on, be honest. Here we go. Raise your hand. Come on, a little higher. Come on. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have three of them. And there's 1.3 billion cards in circulation. Listen to this. Americans made $1.1 trillion worth of credit card purchases last year. $1.1 trillion. Americans carry, on the average, $5,800 in credit card debt from month to month. And if you were to make only the minimum payment on that debt every month, it would take you 30 years to pay it off. And it would include an additional $15,000 of interest. Is that nuts or what? And we do that all the time. Inappropriate debt we just can't pay. Let's read Proverbs 3:28. Go. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. In other words, what God is saying is if I give you certain amounts of funds to disperse in certain ways and you use it to buy something else and then you don't have enough to make your basic payments, that's inappropriate debt because now you have consumer debts and you can't pay. Well, what'll happen is, would you write in your bullet, the first thing that'll happen is it'll start to cancel your integrity. It'll cancel your integrity. James 5:12, would you read that with me? But above all, let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. You see, inappropriate debt is when I make a commitment to pay you for something because you offered a service to me and you trusted me, so you gave me the service or gave me that whatever it is, a possession, and I take it, but then I don't pay you because I can't. Then I have made a promise, now I renege on it. It starts to cancel my integrity because what I say isn't what I do. And I can't help it because I'm in inappropriate debt. And God is saying, be careful. That is a sign that you're overextended your assignment. Yeah, but I wanted that TV or I wanted that stereo. And the Lord is saying, for this season, I don't want you to have that. I'm teaching you something deeper. I'm teaching you that you don't need that. So if I should give it to you, you don't attach your soul to it. You don't need this car for this season. So I will give it to you in a season. But when I do, you don't attach your heart to it. You don't attach your soul to it. You keep your heart attached to me. And in this season, I might pull everything back for a while so that your roots grow down deep. As that one story I told, how A.B. Campbell was an orchard farmer, and his orchard was always greener and more fruitful than all of the other orchards around. And one day they asked him, how come when ours are brown and there's a drought, yours is still green and you're fruit bearing? Your orchard is better than all of ours. He said, oh, my trees can go another 2 weeks without water. I said, how in the world do you do that? He said, because when my trees were young saplings, I often withheld water from them so that the roots would go down much deeper. And now, as they are mature, my trees are drinking water from a much deeper level than all the other trees are drinking water from. And there's times God is going to do something in a season because he knows what's coming up and he knows there's going to be a drought. And so he withholds so that our roots go down really deep. But if we circumvent or we overextend and we buy on credit rather than what God is saying to us, then what happens is we become overextended. It destroys integrity. And when we hit the drought, we are really in trouble. So God is saying, I will supply all your needs. You won't starve, but listen to what I'm saying. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, or according to his wisdom in Christ Jesus. He's got a great amount of wisdom, and he knows the season that I'm in. You're in right now. You might be a mom with children. You might be a young parent. You might be a young couple just starting off in business. Everybody here is in a different season, and you must know what season you're in and adjust to that and be okay with that. And then God, when he sees that those lessons are learned, the foundations are built for your marriage, then he moves you to the next, and it won't kill you. So inappropriate debt, be careful of that because it'll cancel your integrity. And the other thing is, would you write in your next bullet, the result of overextension, it'll cause worry, which steals your joy. Worry will steal your joy. You start to worry. Let's read Matthew 6, go. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Our Heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yep, you see, God is saying, seek first what I'm saying, my kingdom, and I'll take care of all the other things. Oh, it won't be like somebody else. It won't be like a Bill Gates or this guy that just bought, you know, something huge downtown. No, but your season is different from his season. And you've got to listen to what I'm saying to you and know what season you're in, and I will provide. How many marriages break up because of financial problems? And instead of being a young couple knowing their season and being frugal, they start to go into another season. They overextend. Did you know that 65% of marriages struggle with finances? And one of the leading causes of divorce, 54% of the divorce cases have to do with struggles over money. money. So they change the vows now. It's until debt do us part. Worry will steal your joy. Oh, it'll steal your joy. Worry over finances. And then another one, especially for me, is a real key, is a warning sign that I'm overextended, is an inability to tithe. Would you write that in? An inability to tithe. I can't give anymore because I don't have any money to give. The word tithe is a tenth. And the Lord says, I will provide seed for the sower, which means God will actually provide for me the funds to give. But if I eat my seed that was given to me to sow, what's going to happen to tomorrow's harvest? I will be in deep weeds. So God is saying, no, I did not give you that seed to consume. I gave you that seed to sow. And so God says to me, Wayne, if you don't have an inability to, if you have an inability to sow, then you're eating what I've provided for you and you're misappropriating that. I will supply all your needs. Make sure you do it rightly. So man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He speaks about this in Malachi 3. Let's read it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and test me now in this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, there's a devourer called the enemy, the adversary, that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he's going to try and come and take what you have, destroy what you have. And God is saying, if you will be faithful now, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you will appropriate what I have given to you to appropriate, then you know what? I will rebuke the devourer for you. I will work on your behalf to say to the devourer, you stay away from him. Even if though he might not have as much as somebody else, you stay away because this is my child and this child is learning something in this season and I will protect him. I will supply all your needs. And that's what God does. You got to discern the season you're in and you'll start to grow. Otherwise, if there's an inability to tithe, or if we just consume everything, it's so easy to start making up all of these wonderful theological excuses as why we don't need to give and to tithe. And we make all of these things sound so holy. But basically, what tithing does for me, it keeps me eternally minded that I'm going to sow some of this and I'm investing it in souls. I'm investing it in kingdom work, and it keeps me eternally minded. Otherwise, I'll eat everything I get. And then we make up all the wonderful excuses, like these three guys that were talking about how they tithe. It was a Japanese guy and a Hawaiian guy and a Portuguese guy. And the Japanese guy says, when I give it to the road, I make a circle 3 feet around. And I take my money and I throw it up and everything for the inside circle I give to God, everything for outside mine. And the Hawaiian guy said, you too stingy, you Japanese. I tell you what, I make one 5 feet. Then I throw them up and everything that lands inside the circle is mine, everything outside God's. And the Portuguese guy said, I don't make no circle, none. I just throw my money up, whatever God catch, he can keep. We come up with all of these things. And the Lord is saying, no, I give you a tithe and I'll give you the seed for that so that you'll sow. And that will tell you whether or not you're in balance in the season of life that you're in. You say, now I'm starting to catch it. That's right. And so the Lord says, I will supply all your needs in that season. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be as much as, but it will be perfect for you. But you stay within that assignment. When I was in junior high and high school for 2 years, I hired myself out to a rancher, and we were baling hay. And so all summer long, we just took bales of hay and we stacked them in barns. And he provided everything that we needed. He provided room, board, all the food that we could eat, everything that we needed. And so he provided it all, the tractors, the lowboy, everything that we needed. Now, if one day I said, well, I just want to go fishing, give me a fishing rod. No, I'm going to provide everything that you need for the assignment that I've given to you. If you want to go outside of that assignment, I will not provide. But for this, everything you need, I will provide. So you'll need to discern the season you're in, the job that you have, the assignment I've given to you. Stay within that, and I will provide everything abundantly for that. And if you will follow me, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You believe that? So do I.
You have just heard a message entitled The Promise of God's Provision by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. And until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.